G'day and welcome to another episode of the Luke's Lowdown podcast. We are getting to the end of this season and I won't lie, I've saved a very special human for the end of this season. He's a funny guy. He's a very intelligent guy as well. He's actually a doctor as well of psychology. I believe I'm getting that right. He is a multiple book author, and he's someone who I call a close friend, Dr. Rob Bell. Welcome to Lessons from Lockdown.
Lessons from Lockdown from Luke. That's good, hey, man.
That's it, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, man, doing well. I appreciate this. I enjoy any time I get to speak with you, man, so I get kind of energized. So this is good.
Yeah, it's good that we chat on a regular basis. I've been on your podcast a couple of times. We've had a bunch of chats about life and about racing. You're an ultra endurance athlete as well. But you apply your trade as a sports psychologist to a lot of professional athletes, a lot of everyday humans, and you just try and teach people mental toughness. Is that pretty much spot on?
I mean, I try to teach myself first, man, you know?
Love it.
But that's the thing. I can't coach myself, so I need you to be able to coach me up. But yeah, mental toughness, sports psychology, you know, it's my life.
It is. It's awesome. So we here on the Lessons from Lockdown on the Luke's Lowdown podcast, and we always start with, you know, everyone's got their own story of the lockdown that they've had. You're in Indiana in the USA. I don't know exactly what sort of lockdown that you had. So could you tell us what sort of, what were the extremes or limitations you had during the peak time of lockdown in Indiana in the US? And also, what were your living and working circumstances in that period of lockdown?
It's a good one, man. So I always like the reflection piece. I appreciate this. You know, I think the toughest part of it, like at the peak, I remember, you know, because I'm always, you know, 4:30 a.m. guy. So I kind of moved my workouts back to like 5. And I went to this one park and I remember there was a cop that was there and I had my dog and I was doing like, I was doing some running in that one, but I was also doing, you know, some plyometrics, some CrossFit, stuff like that. So that was sort of like a boot camp. I remember nobody else showed up, so it was just me. And I remember the cop was there, and I was thinking, is that cop going to say something to me because we have stay-at-home orders, you know? And I'm just conjuring in my head, like, what am I going to be saying, you know? Like, oh, I'm out shopping. And cop never said anything, but it was just that kind of memory kind of stuck with me there. And, you know, it's like anything, man. I mean, everything absolutely shut down. I think, you know, the gratitude piece. So I know a lot of people share that on your podcast about the gratitude. And the one thing that we're really grateful for was, you know, my son is a huge golfer and the golf courses stayed open. They shut down for one day in this area, but they still stayed open. And, you know, 15 minutes away, they were shut down, you know? So, I mean, that was a real benefit. Now, obviously the weather here in Indiana in March and April wasn't the best, but it was enough to get out there and get going and enjoying it. And, you know, work didn't change much. I can work in France or Britain, you know, or in the United States. So that part didn't, you know, the physical location piece did, but a lot of the athletes just shifted to all online that I work with and all the coaching that I work with. So that did not change much. You know, what also didn't change much is like our family structure, like people, and you know, I don't really feel bad about this one, but, there was a little bit of guilt with it. It was like everyone talked about, well, we spend so much more time as a family now. And with us, that was not true because, you know, my wife really made it a point when we got married, she said, we're going to have dinner every night as a family. And that's one thing we did. So that part like didn't change. And we just love spending time with one another as well. So that we still spent the time together. I think a little bit of the routines changed a little bit, but, I do remember this story is I was playing golf with my son and there was a news, you know, news station that was there and they were doing a story on, you know, people that were playing golf on that and was it safe and could you do it? And, you know, so I interviewed my son with it. I remember they did the story and when they aired that story, you know, we talked about, using this as an opportunity to get better. Every opportunity that we're going to be in, how can we get better at this? And how do we use this as a lesson and bonding and everything? And I love spending time with him, and spending golf was great. And it was the only positive story in the news that night. It was the only positive one. Every other one, man, was about, you know, deaths and lockdown. I mean, it was the only positive one. And that, like, and I just knew I was going to get some heat for that, which it doesn't bother me. Like, I kind of like it. But I still felt weird, man, that that was the only positive story. And then I do what you should never do, and that's reply to people on social media about it. So on the news station, when they post a story, there are so many frowns and angry faces and stuff like that. And why are they playing golf and all that? And it was like, and I replied to each and every one of them, like had that. So I kind of like had the dialogue with it. And I've kind of prided myself on being able to have that civil conversation with people until they just like didn't reply or something. And that was like, but I wanted to engage with people on that and be like, you know, why was it so bad? Cause I don't want anybody to have it bad. But I want to be able to celebrate other people's successes too. And that's where I think it's true success in life is when we can root for other people as well. So sorry for the belabor the point, man, but that was my experience with it.
Yeah. That's really interesting. One of the things I think I've talked about on every episode, that I've had during this lessons from lockdown, and I think I acknowledge that every time, is there's definitely these two sets of people that looked at the lockdown, like here in the UK where I live, in London, it was, yeah, like you're allowed to go outside for 1 hour a day for exercise and go to the shops, and if it was only necessary, and that was pretty much it, and most people adhered to that. And you got people, you know, talking to people online and calling friends. You got people who were like really down in the dumps and looked at this as they were missing out on everything. And they continually voiced what they're missing out on. And I can't do this and I can't do that. And I don't like this about it. And when is this going to happen? When are we going to go back to normal? And then you've got other people who you and I, you know, we think in a very similar way, that we looked at this as an opportunity. Right? For you, it's an opportunity to, you know, help others and an opportunity to keep people on track. You work with a lot of professional athletes, you know, and they've got to keep training. You know, they've got to keep staying fit, because I know you work with a lot of golfers. And as you said, like golf is one of the first sports to actually come back and play from at a professional level. So they're still working. So you have to work with them. So we saw this as an opportunity to, you know, help others and be the best that we can be, you know. So what were some of the things that you said to, whether it was those people who commented on the news report on social media, or even some of your athletes or even your family, about this time when you could see people tipping to that other side of complaining or just acknowledging the things that they can't do and what's happened, rather than looking at it as an opportunity?
Yeah, it's a great point. And it's difficult when it's like if you have a conversation with somebody that doesn't exercise. It's just really weird for me to kind of consider, like, what do you mean you don't exercise? Like, that's a staple of my life. Like, you, if I don't exercise, I'm not a person you want to be around. You know what I mean? So it's like, so to look at it as an opportunity, it's just how we're wired. And I looked at it like this. Everything in preparation, everything we did in life before was in preparation for that lockdown. So what it really did is it just revealed one's level of mental strength, one's level of mental toughness, one's level of connections that we had. And this isn't going to be the last time in our lifetime we go through something like this. Next time it's just going to look different. So, I mean, it's like the storms that happen in our life, right? And it's, you know, when I think the biggest message that I was able to share was that you can't look at the end. And you do such a great job at this, right? Like, your podcast episode is going to be out by the time this airs. And when you were doing the calendar club stuff, right, like day 26, day 27, and it's just this mile. And how do I be more efficient with the pain of what I'm dealing with? And that was all it was. It's what we really get into trouble with. And this was kind of Stockdale paradox. And that's the one I loved, right? So James Stockdale, Admiral Stockdale, POW in Vietnam. And they asked him, like, how would you survive? And he's like, you came to the reality of your situation. But the other part was, is you never lost hope. And he said, well, then he was asked the question, well, what people didn't make it out of the POW camps? And this was awful. I mean, you know, horrible atrocities that were happening to him. And he said, well, that was easy. It was the optimists that didn't make it. And they're like, well, what do you mean the optimists didn't make it? Like, I thought that would be the best mentality. He said, no, the optimists, they were the ones that said, well, we'll be home by Christmas. And so they set that date on it. And then Christmas would come and go, and they wouldn't be home. Oh, well, we'll be home by Easter. Easter would come and go, and then that's when they would lose that hope. And the problem with that one is simply this, and that's where I said it. I was like, you don't know when this pandemic or everything's going to end, or when, you know, we get back to normal, whatever that's going to look like. What you have to do is we got to look at the reality of our situation. Our situation for this week is this. Our situation for this day is this. And then how are we living in that space and becoming more comfortable with what we have? And this is going to sound weird, man, but as a high achiever and somebody who gets after it all the time, I've got that fear of, you know, not doing enough. And so when this hit, it loud major pause, because I was like, well, I'm not missing out on anything that's going on. So I don't need to go to the networking group. I don't need to do this. And I can just connect with who I want to connect with. And even get it more structured. So that was the piece. It brought peace to it, honestly, man, because it was like, I don't need to hustle and I can rest a little bit more and still get after it. But I'm going to get after it and, you know, 5 a.m. morning run, still what I want to do. And that was the part is how can we rest in this and how can we look at it as the opportunity, but not set an end point on it or a date? That's when we get into trouble.
Yeah. 100%. I saw that over here in the UK. And first of all, I love talking to you, man. I appreciate you so much. And I hope everyone absorbed what you just said. There are so many golden nuggets, as I call them, in there. And I saw over here, people were like, yeah, this is going to last like 2 months and that's it. And even the government are saying like, this will be over by the summer. Things will be back to normal for the summer. And then they said, they're saying it's going to be over by Christmas. And everyone's saying, well, that's what you said in the summer. And I think you're right with I forget his name, the guy from the POW camp.
Admiral Stockdale.
Stockdale, that's right. It gives false hope, you know, that setting that date, setting that, it's a hard line in the sand. And whether it's individuals over here, I saw it, and I saw it in friends and in family, it gives you that false hope. And yes, it's being optimistic and it's looking like, yes, we're going to have a positive outcome of this. But as you said, like, we've got to deal with the situation that we've been given. You know, like if, you know, when I was at university in America, we played Texas Hold'em all the time, you know, with a lot of the teammates and a lot of different athletes would play it. And I always go back to like playing cards. It's like whatever the hand you have, like you can't say, oh, next hand, I'm going to have a better hand, because you've still got to play that hand that you've got, you know, and you just don't know if you get, you know, the river turns, it could match up in your cards. You know what I mean? If you get, you know, so giving yourself false hope by setting that deadline, I think it does lure ourselves down a dark hole. And then, as you said, like when it doesn't happen and you've set that target, then you've dug yourself that hole deeper than what you were before. And then a lot of people can't get out of that. So what was the toughest thing that you had to deal with during the lockdown period?
That's a great question, because I think about that. I think the toughest thing I had to deal with was two things. One, I don't have the mental capacity to handle a lot, you know, so I try not to be on social media a lot, but I even did like a detox last year, like 3 months of social media, you know, because my Facebook got hacked and then I'm like, I'm not going to be on it. And boy, it was great, you know, because I had peace of mind. I wasn't focused on a bunch of the other stuff that made no impact at all in my life. It really didn't, you know, and it's just people complaining and all that stuff. So, but I had to be more engaged on this one because that was my only connection. So that was sometimes then difficult and how to be able to navigate that. And I would find myself distracted a lot. I just really struggled with like being distracted because, well, now, you know, I'm just able to, yeah, I got no really time limit on the stuff to do. So it's kind of like being on vacation a little bit, and I would just get distracted very easy. So like, that's my demon that I kind of deal with.
And how do you try and pull yourself out of that being distracted, and how do you try and counteract that?
Well, and that's the part. So sometimes it's, I'm good at it, but a lot of times I'm not, because I'm an all or nothing guy. You know, I don't really think that's a good thing, you know, but you know, if it came to drinking, that's why I don't drink, is because one was too many and 10 was never enough, you know? So it's either I'm, the only thing I could really do, and I just felt, was to have, to make sure my morning routine was good, where there was no social media, no email, stuff like that. So I was still entering the day, because I think the first hour of the day sets the rudder for the rest, and making sure and that is peaceful, that's calm, that's quiet, and just listening to my breath when what I'm doing. So that was the part that I think it was just making sure that first hour of the day was really structured, and the first part was really structured.
What is your morning routine?
My morning routine is really just get up, stretch if I'm taking the dog with me, and then, you know, I have my caffeine. Sometimes I eat, sometimes I don't, but I love going in the dark, man. I just love running in the dark. So if it depends, if it's a long run like this weekend, you know, I got to travel probably 20 minutes to get there. If not, then I'm just out the door and I just start to run. And that's my favorite part, man, is that peace and quiet and running in the dark. So yeah. That's the morning routine now. And that's why I've got to have races that are in the future that I can at least prepare for. That was the most difficult part. Thanks for bringing that up. Most difficult part was having the 100-miler canceled, having all the races canceled, having all these things canceled that I didn't see the point of it. And I got frustrated by it. But then the other thing was, it's like, you're taking away the primary coping mechanism for so many people in life, man. The way that we deal with life is through exercise. And it's, again, it's a staple of my life. And I find it to be so important. And I'm not thinking of like everybody's got to go out there and run, but the movement, you know, just being active. And once you cancel that stuff, it's like, boy, you just set a whole bunch of people that have dedicated their life towards a pursuit and now tell them they can't do it. And that was difficult for me to process, not mostly for myself, but because I was looking at, you're holding people hostage for something that, you know, again, may or may not happen to them. And I understand it was a lot of people were affected by this. A lot of people are still affected by this. The thing that I struggled with the most was nobody. We talk about mental health being, oh, well, it's so important, you know, and end the stigma. Well, when push came to shove, that never even came up in people's minds in terms of, well, think about the mental health repercussions you're going to have by isolating people for so long. And people are still isolating here, man, because of what's happened. Now it's a blanket of fear that they're laying under. And that message I get perpetuated so I mean, it was like, that was a big struggle. You know, the mental health discussion didn't take place. Exercise, which is, I think, is the core of mental health, is, well, that's now removed from people. And just still trying to get that message across, man. And then what the message was, and this is what the other part I had to deal with that was really difficult, man, was the media. Because the media, they've got one job to do, and that is to get your eyes on it. Well, nobody wants to hear about, well, this school and this community is actually doing pretty good social distancing and everyone's pretty much healthy. Nobody's going to tune into that. What they're going to tune into is, oh my gosh, look at all the cases there was an outbreak because of a hairdresser that went to work. Oh my God, we're going to tune into that. And that's what the media is built on, man, is for our eyeballs to be on that. And so the trouble with it is not necessarily what the story was or what it wasn't. It was we no longer knew who to trust. And that became a real big issue, man, when it's like, you have no idea who to trust when it comes to the, you know, actual media outlets. That's a big problem, because now we have to check and verify every single source that we're getting. That became a big hot spot for me as well. And who we have to rely on, right? We had to rely on media to be telling us, hey, well, what is the situation? What we're doing, you know, it's like if we're back in, and I didn't live through Vietnam, but it's like through Vietnam, hey, what's the death count every single day? People are tuned into that. And that was, those were a couple of the biggest issues, man. So sorry to belabor the point. That was
No, that's good. Yeah, look, we saw over here in the UK a lot of contradictions of over time. Initially, it was all sort of a very similar narrative. Yeah, the UK is a little bit different with the media to a degree than the US, because you've got a bunch of different news outlets, national news outlets, that are coming from different angles of point of view, from different political angles. Whereas the UK, you don't really have that to the same extent. So we were getting a very similar narrative, but then over time, it was starting to contradict itself. And like, we don't have a television. We don't buy newspapers. We don't really read news. I flick in occasionally just to see any big stuff. I will basically, anytime I check sort of like news reports, stuff like that, is to check sport scores and things like that. But I check in and out just to see if there are any big things that I should know. But it just became this contradiction wheel. And a lot of people are getting frustrated, because they're frustrated that their life has been altered. And this is my opinion. And they didn't know why it was being altered, because the information they were getting was so contradicted from last week or 2 months ago. And I think a lot of people struggled with that. So, and that comes from fear, but then they lashed out, whether that was just on social media or talking to friends. Like, you'd walk past people who were on the other side of the road or whatever, and you could hear the conversations. You know, it was always about the media. It was all about the next door neighbors. They had two friends over and they're only allowed one, and I called the police. And I'm just like, you know, there's so much anger. And it sounded like that was one of the frustrations that you had, because there was always this negative press. But I want to flip it now, right? I want to flip it now to, you know, we talked about the news report that you did playing golf with your son, and the negative comments about it. But what were some of the positives that you either saw or you've taken out of that period of lockdown that you're in?
Yeah, and there were positive comments. You know, there's always going to be positive comments for it. And that's I think it's like the negative far outweighs the positive, though. So like, you've got to have 5 positive touch points to overcome that one negative one. What's the lessons that have come out of lockdown, man? I think the importance of rest. I really do. I believe that. We work, you know, it's like if we're getting ready for a vacation, if we all worked like we were getting ready to go on vacation, man, we would get everything done, right? We really would. It's kind of like if you go to a soccer match or something and they blow off those t-shirts out in the crowd, people go nuts for a t-shirt. Imagine if we worked that hard. And so the way that I just see it, it's just a lesson, man. It's like being able to rest when you are supposed to rest. And when you get after it, that's when you're supposed to get after it. So I really just think that segmentation of that piece is very, very important. And, you know, some of us are good at one, not good at the other, but it's only the recovery piece, man. The recovery has to be there. The other lessons that we got from it, man, boy, it's a good one, dude. It's just, I think it's still unfolding. You know, it's still being able to unfold, because we're not out of it. And it's, you know, now it's just discussions. I mean, I think the lesson I got from it was having conversations with people. You got to be able to have the conversations. And people don't want to have the conversations, one, because they, and I struggle with this too. Sometimes I lack the skills to engage another viewpoint. And so a couple of things that I learned, and I applied this one a lot, and I was, boy, that's interesting. You know, I never really thought about it like that. and just kind of leave it like that. If it's somebody's viewpoint that just really totally disagree with, and be able to say that, and then they can expound upon it or go off on it, but it just kind of diffuses it. I want to get so much better at being able to engage other viewpoints and to have it be a healthy discussion, because it doesn't, very rarely does it happen on social media. And that's the part where that technique there, it's like, boy, that's interesting. You know, I never really thought about it that way. Boy, it diffuses it, man.
Yeah. So will you, I don't want to ask a leading question or put words in your mouth, but that will you then, it sounded like, you know, the COVID-19 and the whole situation of what's going on in the US and in the world sounds like it's highlighted something to you that is something that maybe you need to work on. Where can you sit and listen with someone else's conflicting personal opinions to yours, and then can you sit and listen, and then can you actually engage in that conversation but be on the fence and just have a emotionless, to a degree, conversation, and just go back and forth without those emotions bubbling up over time, is what normally happens with people with opposing degrees. So is that something that's been highlighted to you and something that you're conscious that you're going to work on moving forwards?
100%, man. I wish I kind of had these questions beforehand to be able to prep.
So I will say a little thing here is, because I've known Rob for a long time and we've chatted so many times, he's the only guest of this series that I didn't send any questions to, because he's an absolute pro. And as you can tell, the answers that he has given and the insights have been, you know, full of gold nuggets. So mate, you don't need them. You're doing extremely well.
Thanks, man. Words of affirmation is my love language too. So this is the part that I 100% agree with you, man. It's about being on the fence. I always looked at it as being on the fence is you have to have a take, right? Either be left or be right, you know, whatever it is going to be. But I think being on the fence now is important, because the issue is like, if you have a stance on one thing, that means every other stance that would maybe veer towards that way is you get associated with that. And that's not necessarily true. And that's why the discussion's always got to be had on different topics. So it's like, you know, racism, very big problem here in the United States, especially systematic racism. So if you got people that are like, racism isn't an issue, you know, I've got black friends. And, you know, that's not quite the point, you know, but we got to have a discussion about it. And there have to be discussions about it. So it's, and, but people want to dig in so hard to their take that they refuse to even acknowledge where somebody else is coming from. And that's the part where we've got to be more like water in these kind of discussions. We got to be on the fence. And even if it's totally disagreeing with somebody, where are they coming from? Imagine if all the conversations we had were just to understand somebody's viewpoint. And that's a skill that I think we can constantly work on, and I want to work on as well. Because I'll get fired up, man. There'll be things that will draw my ire, especially if we get drawn in the sports realm and people are having a take that's totally wrong. You know, it'll draw my ire, and I want to engage and just let them know, look, you're wrong, but what's a more creative way that I can do it? That's why I think people that can be humorous about it, like comedians, man, it's just such an awesome skill, because they can take a very, very important topic and bring humor around it and to make us laugh at ourselves. That's the skill. I wish I could do that all the time. I can't do it. So it's a lot of times just being able to engage, and yeah, biggest skill I'm definitely working on for sure, man.
Yeah. It's something that I constantly work on, and the person who I regularly, is my, and I use this term, like joking, is my wife. We spar one another with this type of conversation. Is we will have a conversation about something, and we will say, right, are we ready? Yes, we're gonna have an adult conversation. Let's take emotions out of it, and I will literally do the, like, I'm picking something up and moving it to the side. Now let's have this conversation. And people who have seen my documentary, The 500 Men, I know you've seen it. And people who have listened to the podcast about the 500 men will know that I disagreed with my wife, who was my medical officer for that event, when she pulled me off the bike and said, you're not allowed to get back on the bike. And I disagreed with her at the time at 9 o'clock at night, whenever it was. And I disagreed with her at the end of it when she called the ambulance and said, no, you can't go and run anymore. And the day after that, I still disagreed with her. So we had this conversation where we sat at our dinner table and I said, look, we need to talk about this because otherwise it's just going to fester inside me. And she says, fine. You know, she's blunt. Anyone that's seen her on the documentaries knows she's very straightforward. And we just said, right, let's remove emotions. Now, we're married, right? So there's a lot of emotional connection there. So I said, let's remove the emotions and let's talk as if she's the crew chief and I'm the athlete. And we went back and forth. And I said, well, you know, I disagree. And she said, these are the reasons why I took you off the bike. So I heard her point of view. I didn't have to agree with it, but I heard where she was coming from. And then I had a rebuttal and I told her where I was coming from. And we went back and forth. And over time, we realized that, okay, she felt her points were valid and I felt my points were valid. And there is no definitive right or wrong here because it was always going to be gray. So we literally got to the end of it and said, well, we agree to disagree, but we're really glad we thrashed this out because now I know 100% where she was coming from and she knows 100% where I was coming from. And we said, okay, we agree to disagree. Fine. We literally did a high five and we said, okay, emotions back in. We hugged and carried on. And what that has taught me, that was several years ago, but what that has taught me is when I have a conflicting view to someone else, I think of that conversation with my wife. And I think if I can have a conflicting conversation with someone who I love deeply and remove emotions, why can't I do that with someone who I don't have any emotional connection with? That should be easier. So that's a conversation and a tool, I would say, that reminds me of if someone's got a conflicting view, right, let's put emotions to the side. And I want to know why you have that view. Where has that come from? And what you and do you truly believe it? And for me, that's been instrumental in actually having conversations and being comfortable with having conversations, reading something or listening to someone who, from the title or from the initial sentences, I completely disagree with. So that's a little thing that I use when I'm in that situation where I don't agree with someone initially.
You know, and communication, man, it's a skill and it's an experience. It's so righteous, man, about what you said. I think like, cause how many times like in life do you draw upon your ultimate triathlon or 500 man in a regular everyday kind of circumstance, you know?
Yeah. It's a case of like, there's so many teaching points, but I think a lot of people have had their own version of the ultimate triathlon or the old version of the 500 man in their own lives. But I think a lot of people don't stop and look at adversity, don't look at things that don't go according to plan or setbacks, whatever you want to call them, right? And I don't think a lot of people sit with that discomfort of, I didn't achieve what I wanted to, or I can't believe that happened to me, and learn from the experience. And I've been willing to sit with that uncomfortable moment and extract those teaching points. And definitely I've used them throughout my daily life. But I think it's important for people to, you know, pulling this conversation back around to specifically COVID-19, to sit with this period of time in our lives, which has been uncomfortable, to say the least, and whether it's write down, spend half an hour in one of your days to think about what their own lessons from lockdown have been. Because we can learn so much about the experiences we've had and haven't had, or what we've had taken away from us, or what we think we've had taken away from us, but we don't gain that knowledge unless we stop and understand what that knowledge is.
Oh, no question, man. Absolutely. And that's where I think like the discussions keep unraveling, especially where it's going to be going in the future, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, my friend, I am very cautious of your time and I want to say,
oh, is that it?
That's it, man. We're short and sharp here. I could talk to you all day for hours, but
how about one more question, Luke? I want to end it on like a good kick at the end, man.
All right. So you've talked about some of the things that you've learned from lockdown, that rest when you need to rest, you know, you didn't use this word, but I'll use it, hustle when you need to hustle, you know, work when you need to work, be comfortable with conflicting views. These are all the things that you've learned. How will you use these newfound insights going forward into the future on a day-to-day basis even?
So I definitely think, again, it's going to be the communication piece. If I look at any kind of issues that I have with my wife, if I have any issues with my kids, if I look at a coach-athlete relationship and a problem, 99% of the time, it's getting back to communication, man. It really is. Like, I thought she said something. She thought I heard something. I wasn't looking at her, so that meant I didn't hear her, you know? And it's getting back to some. There was a communication breakdown. And that's the skill, man, to just keep getting back at that. That's the part it's just a huge part, at least I'm going to be working at, because everything else, it gets back to routine. I'm a routine guy, just like you. And it's one way or another, man. It's just the communication. So I think that, man, that's the main skill, man, I'm going to get from that.
Cool. I love it. Communication is king. That's definitely come up a couple of times in this lessons from lockdown. And I think,
oh man, I wanted a new one.
No, but this is the thing, right? It reinforces how important it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, we all want to be extremely insightful and drop that. Like, there's been so many insightful things that we've talked about today and people can take away. And it's one of those things that what we think this conversation is about, someone else who's listening will take something out of it that we may not even spend, you know, more than a couple of seconds talking about. So, yeah, it's other people's perception of the conversation. That's why I just like having these chats with people. And the whole point of this series from Lessons from Lockdown was to have a chat with someone about their experience. And we've definitely covered your experience and what you've dealt with. You've been extremely honest, and I want to say thank you for that. And, you know, people are going to listen to this and take something out of it that they can use in their own life. But the biggest thing that I want all you listeners to take away from this is stop and imagine I'm having this conversation with you and go through some of the questions that I've asked and some of the topics that you've brought up. You know, have I been resting enough? Have I been working hard enough? You know, am I being open to other people's, you know, perception, and am I keeping a clear line of communication open between my friends, my family, my spouse, my partner, whoever it is? And these are all things that people can ask themselves, but then also they can dive further into that from their own period of lockdown that they had. So Dr. Rob, I want to say thank you very much. I've got a lot of gratitude for taking the time to chat with me. I know that you have had a lot of success being an author, and I was very lucky to read your book and write a little comment about your latest book, Puke and Rally. Do you want to give us a little bit of insight into what it's all about, and also tell everyone where they can find all your books and more about you and what you do?
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that last comment too. It is, man. It's about the mosaic of many. So I think having all those guests on there, if I could contribute to it, man, it's great. My website, man, is probably the easiest way people can get a hold of me, but it's just Dr. Rob Bell, DrRobBell. And yeah, the latest book, Puke and Rally, it's pukeandrallybook.com. And the whole premise behind that book is it's not about the setback. It's always about the comeback. And, you know, after the bubonic plague is what came the Renaissance. So, I mean, there's going to be a bright light that comes after this as well, because it's always about the comeback that's going to happen.
It is. And if you, one of the biggest things that I love about your writing, and I've read several of your books now, is they're all about one concept. And the thing that I love is you intertwine your own personal stories with
other stories from other people, not just athletes, but, you know, people doing great things that fit to the concept that you are trying to teach people from writing your book. So if you'd like to learn through a narrative that you can relate to, right? This is for the listeners. If you'd like to learn by reading through a narrative that you can relate to, while also hearing stories of the same teachings from people who are extreme high achievers on a world stage, then your books, Dr. Rob, are for these people, because that's what I love about your style of writing. So yeah, you've got how many books now? Seven, was it?
Seven, yeah.
Yeah, I got it right this time. So definitely go and check him out. I'll have all the links in the show notes. And I want to say once again, thank you for coming on the Luke Slowdown podcast, my friend.
Thanks, Luke. Cheers, man.
No worries. All right, everyone. If you enjoyed that episode of the Luke Slowdown podcast, remember, like, subscribe, leave a comment, share it with your friends, your family, share it with your mum. She might get some golden nuggets out of this conversation I had with Dr. Rob Bell. Go and give him a follow. Go and check out one or all seven of his books. As I said, I've read several of them and they've been extremely insightful for me. Remember, everyone, to take care of yourself. And as always, keep smiling.